Today is
Good Friday.
Well done. Thank you. Today is Good Friday. But the obvious question that a lot of people ask is, what's good about Good Friday? Where did that name come from? It's a strange name, especially when you think that this Friday, today, is the day that a billion people around the world are remembering that this was the day that Jesus died. So what's good about Good Friday? Well, actually, some people say, no, it's not good. It's actually meant to be God's Friday. And I looked at this and I thought, that's funny. But actually, I learned something, and I'm going to share it with you. It's not important, but I learned something about this. When you say goodbye, what are you saying? Very good. It actually comes from Old English, and it's God be with ye. And that's become goodbye. So people think, oh, it must be the same. Therefore, Good Friday is God's Friday or something like that, but it's not. It's Good Friday. And it's good because the word good carries with it the idea of sacred or holy or special. So, what is good about Good Friday? And when you actually think of what happened on that Friday so long ago, there wasn't much that you would see that was good. It was actually exceedingly ugly on that day. There was betrayal and there was denial, and you know what I'm talking about. There was violence and people were trembling with fear on that day. There were lies. Even people under oath telling lies and great corruption of people who were entrusted with responsibility to be righteous and to be just, but corrupt as can be. There was compromise. People not standing with integrity, but compromising. And people being exploited, not even knowing that they were being used. And there was great cruelty, unimaginable cruelty from our point of view. Things we have never witnessed, and may we never witness, that happened on that day. And of course, on that day, there was death. But in that death, there is something so good. And we know that the scriptures made it very plain that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And that believing in him is depending upon him, relying upon him, trusting in him, clinging to him. And it says God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world through him could be saved. Now, is this good? This is good. This is extraordinarily good. This is wonderful. To be saved means to live forever. But it means more than that. It means more than living forever. Forever. You know, a lot of people think, oh, if you get saved, it's like you get a ticket. And with your ticket, when you die, you go to heaven. And then in heaven. And then secretly, people don't like to say this, but secretly they think, heaven's probably going to be pretty boring. Who's ever thought that? Nobody's ever thought that. One, good on you. Yeah, two. Yeah, because what are you going to do? And you know the cartoon pictures of people walking around in clouds and you know, carrying a harp and dressed in a white dress or something like that? Huh? Is that heaven? You want to go there forever? Yeah, I don't think so. Well, that's not it. Eternal life is actually a completely different kind of life, and it's a life that starts now for those who believe. It's a transforming life. So, Good Friday, is it good or is it horrible? Well, you could say it's both. What we saw, if you were there, would be really horrible. But if you understood, you'd say, how good is this? That God sent his Son into the world to die, that I might be saved, that you might be saved. How good is that? But, you say, but look at the world. Look at the pain, look at the suffering of this world. Look at the horrors that we see all around us. If you know any news, you know what's going on. All sorts of suffering on a huge scale, war, cities being demolished, people buried under rubble. In another place, starvation. In another place, just grinding poverty. In another place, broken families, divorce. Somewhere else, addiction, and all sorts of addiction. And so, the question you ask is, so Jesus came and Jesus died, but what difference does that make? What's the big impact? How has the world been changed? Has Jesus' death made any difference? Or has the world gone on with just as violent? Hey, we've got new weapons now. We can be more violent than from a distance now. And what about the suffering? People have always suffered. Are people still suffering? They are. Has Jesus' death made a difference? Well, perhaps we can get a bit more positive and ask a different question, and we can say, how does Jesus' death make a difference? Because if God did send his Son into the world, then surely he has made a difference. But how has he made a difference? That's the question. So how does Jesus' death make a difference? So we have to ask a question then. And the question is, well, what's the cause of human suffering, or most of human suffering? What's behind the suffering of the world? Where does it come from? Because if we're saying that Jesus' death is going to make a difference, then he's got to deal with the core reason. Why are we suffering? Do people suffer because of their traditions, because of their religion, because of their culture? Is that what causes suffering? People say, oh, you know, it's white men that have caused all the suffering in the world. It's the patriarchy. It's all this sort of stuff. It's religion that's caused all the trouble in the world. Is that it? Or is it the economy? The problem is we've just got to organize ourselves better so that more people have got more stuff. Is it the economy? No, it's the government that's the problem. We need better government. We need politicians who are honest and do their job. Is that the problem? What's the cause of human suffering? So here's my answer, and you can argue with me if you like. Almost all of our problems are caused by Almost all of our problems are caused by the things people do and don't do. It's people who are doing this, who are causing so much suffering. If we were to think back, it's people who make wars. It's people who don't share. It's people who are corrupt in government. It's people who are greedy and steal. It's people who sell drugs and deceive. It's people. And, you know, you can say religion causes war, but look a bit closer. It's people. And so, my conclusion is to change the world, to make a difference. People have to be changed. You can change the government, you can change the economy, but it's people you have to change if there's going to be a difference. And if people have to be changed, then what about us? What about you? Do you have to be changed as well? We said earlier, we all know that nobody's perfect. That's really common, isn't it? But anybody, you know, if you say, if I say to Tim, hey Tim, you're a sinner. Tim says, nobody's perfect. And what's, can you translate nobody's perfect into something else? Nobody's perfect means everybody is. Everybody has in their heart a desire that is wrong, that is evil, that is sinful, that may be cruel, that may be selfish, that may be, you know, a whole list. So, do you need to be changed? But how do we answer that question? Do you need to be changed? Well, we can simply ask another question. Well, what sort of person are you? Now, I look at the faces here. Some of you I know well, some of you I don't know at all. What sort of person are you? Now, when we look at other people, we can say, oh, I know him, he's a, or I know her, she's really, you know, we can say this about other people, can't we? Because we just look at the way they behave or things they do. We may not say it to them, but we look at them and we think, I know what sort of person that person is. But then if we ask it about ourselves, it's a bit more difficult. What sort of person are you? You see, you know more about you than anybody on earth. And the reason that's true is because you have inside information. You hear the thoughts. You know the feelings. Other people don't hear your thoughts. They guess your thoughts sometimes, but they don't hear them. You have inside information about you. And we don't have that information about anybody else. So sometimes I can look at myself and think, I must be the worst person because I know my thoughts. But maybe they're your thoughts as well. So when we say, what sort of person are you, we really have to say, what sort of person are you really? Not just on the outside, but what sort of person are you on the inside? Because on the inside, we could be way different from what we are on the outside, aren't we? Is it true? Who knows it to be true? Yeah. So what sort of person are you really on the inside? That's the question. Because if we're going to talk about change, we don't want simply to change the outside. The change has got to be deep and real. We need to be changed on the inside and become different people. So, what sort of person are you on the inside? So we could ask that question now, and we could say, well, there's three questions here. Question one, what sort of person are you now? So today, what sort of person are you? You might have some idea. But there's a second question. What sort of person are you becoming? Because yesterday was a different day, and today, and there's tomorrow. And we all know that you can get set in your ways. And you might look back on your life and think, how I used to be as angry as often as I am these days. Or I used to get as upset so often as I do now. You might see change. So what sort of person are you becoming? Because we are all becoming, we're changing, we're alive, we're living people, we're changing. What sort of person are you becoming? You know, I know a lot of old people, older than me. And when you see an old person, you see the result of years of life. And you can see what sort of person they've become. And you can sometimes look at a person and think, I wonder what that guy was like when he was 15. Now he's 85 and he's mean and he's bitter and he's like an empty shell of a man. What was he like when he was 15? Was he like that? No, surely not. And some old woman who's just complaining, complaining, complaining. What was she like when she was 16? What did she dream of? What did she want? And what has she become? So this is an important question. What are you becoming? But there's a third question. And the third question is, what sort of person do you want to be? How do you want to be changed? What do you want to be when you're 25 or 35 or 45? What are they going to look at and say, this person, this guy, this girl, this woman, she is? What do you want to be? So this is an important question. And this is what this weekend is about. We've got a lot on this weekend. We're going to do a lot of things. We've got a full weekend, a busy weekend. But we have a message. And our message is your opportunity. Our message is your opportunity. It's your opportunity to listen, to think about it, to ask questions about it, to challenge it, and to find out where you stand in relation to this message. And our message is very appropriate for the day, or for these days. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, I delivered this message to you of first importance. Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And this day, Friday, this Good Friday, is the day when it's remembered that he died for our sins. And tomorrow is the day when we remember that he was buried in a tomb. And Sunday is the day we remember that he rose from the dead. So this is the message. But why did he die? Why was he buried? Why did he rise? And we have the answer from the lips of Jesus himself. He said, I came that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly. And this life should be spelt with a capital L, because it's a completely different life. It's that eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. And as I said before, this life starts now. This life changes you. This life makes you a different person. And this life sets you on a road which is glorious and wonderful. So, all of this is gathered around the ugliness of the cross, the brutality of the cross. And there's a danger in this. And the danger, we'll talk more about later, but the danger is that to many people, the message of the cross is foolishness. It's, come on. Come on. You know, a cross, a crucifixion, man, that's ancient history. Don't bug me with that. Can we get something more practical? Can we be more realistic? For many people, the message of the cross is foolishness. And they, what do you do with something that's stupid? He said, not interested, turn away, walk away, turn to that. But to those whose eyes have been opened and whose heart has responded, this is the power of God. This is the most extraordinary and glorious event human history is our name. So you can see the danger. This weekend could be wonderful for you, or this weekend could be painful for you, could be nothing. And you could say, oh yeah, it was fun, nothing more. But how much would you miss out? What sort of person are you now? What sort of person are you becoming? What sort of person do you want to be? Maybe you don't think much about that, but this weekend is a good time to think about that. Because like I said, you can get your life kind of like, you can become like a train on the train tracks, you know? And the train just goes along those tracks. And if your tracks, the way you're living, is pointed in the wrong direction, you're going to end up in the wrong place. And you're going to look back on a life that's been wasted. So this weekend, don't miss out. This weekend, pay attention when there's people speaking. Pay attention in your groups. Get into it. Ask your questions. And if you don't want to ask the question in the group, then take somebody aside and ask them. You say, oh, what about this? You know, get answers. Engage. Think about it. Because how you respond this weekend to what you hear could totally change your life. Now, I'm talking to two groups of people, actually. Who are the two groups of people? Some of you have already made a commitment to Christ. Some of you have already confessed that you believe in him and that you trust in him. And some of you have not yet done that. For those who have believed, What I can tell you, I have also believed, and I believed before you. I was 17 when I believed. But I can tell you, absolutely honestly, that I am still learning about the cross and about the resurrection. So don't tune out and think, I know all this. I don't know about that. You don't know it all. There's much to learn. So for everybody, don't miss out. Engage. Plug in. Listen. Be involved. And as I said, how you respond this weekend can totally change your life. Youth camp is on. We have begun. We certainly have begun. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you love each and every person here. And we know that you know them all by name. And you know their every secret. And you yourself know their deepest thoughts and every word they speak before they utter it. And we pray, Lord, that your love would be known to them and that they would see the greatness of it, the wonder of it, and where this love can take them. Oh, Lord, we pray that this weekend would be fruitful and that your name would be honoured and glorified in all that we do. Grant us peace and order and a good time. So we commit everything to your hands in Jesus' holy name. Amen.